Hey gang, welcome to ABC's Wide World of Sports on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN. Help the Wide World of Sports, and you can do that by going to RBN, clicking on the donate button, and sending shekels. The Wide World of Sports, sponsored by CoCertified. It is the app that you download from nationalbugle.com. Try it today. Okay, this is a Wide World of Sports. Later today, we are going to be taking you to the World Water Skiing Championship, the Squirrel Division. It's a lot of competition there, But first, we are going live to Louisville for the Rioting and Looting Grand Prix. It is in Louisville this week, and we have our reporter on the ground. That is Jeremy. Jeremy, welcome to the Wide World of Sports.
Thanks for having me on, Patrick. It is great to be here on Republic Broadcasting Network, National Bugle Radio, reporting on live as Louisville struggles against the Wakandans.
Yeah, the Wakandans. And that was, did I say it yesterday? They're trying to turn America into the People's Republic of Wakanda. I want to fit Zio into there somewhere because, you know, it's not really going to be Wakanda, but it's kind of make-believe Wakanda. It's like the man behind the screen definitely is wearing a yarmulke. I think we can agree on that. But it is, at least on surface, it looks like they're trying to turn this into the People's Republic of Wakanda. So what are we seeing in the rioting and looting? Is the looting started yet?
I think there's been a little bit. The news is coming in. So this is Wednesday night, and this will be shown on Thursday on RBN. But we're doing this live Wednesday night, bringing in coverage from Louisville, Kentucky. And the news is coming in a little bit at a time. I'm here at the Mobile National Bugle studio. Got my cold Heineken, martini gin, and American Spirit cigarettes, and we're ready to roll with this coverage. But in Louisville today, the announcement came from the Attorney General, Cameron, on whether or not these three police officers involved in the shooting and the death of Breonna Taylor, as to what kind of charges they're going to get. So it seems like what they've announced today was that out of the three officers, one officer was indicted on first-degree wanton endangerment charges. So here in Kentucky, wanton endangerment is a Class D felony, and it's first-degree wanton endangerment. So basically, I'm pulling up the charge to see exactly what that is. Wanton endangerment of the first degree occurs when, under circumstances manifesting extremely indifference to the value of human life, the person wantonly endangers. He engages in conduct which creates a substantial danger of health or serious physical injury to another person. So that's the specific definition of a wanton endangerment. First degree, it's a Class D felony. And that's what one of these three officers are going to be charged with. And that's not good enough for the masses. So we're going to cover how the protests turn into riots and how it kind of progresses through the day. So just to refresh everyone, a no-knock warrant was issued for Breonna Taylor's apartment. So obviously there was enough cause to suspect criminal activity going on there. These three plainclothes police officers knock on the door, even though it was a no-knock warrant. They identify themselves. Breonna Taylor's boyfriend fires. His weapon hits one of the officers in the leg, and the other officers fire their weapons. Breonna Taylor was killed in the firefight. Now, bullets went through the wall of the apartment and into the next apartment. So that's what the wanton endangerment charge is actually for, is that the bullets went into another area of the apartment complex. No one else was hurt, but that's what they're getting these officers for. And I think that's, I think it's pretty bogus. You know, these officers were fired at and they fired back. Maybe you could make the argument, well, they should have used hollow points, because, you know, if you're engaging in, if you're firing your firearm in a complex like this, a hollow point wouldn't go through the victim and through the wall. It would disintegrate when it hits something. And that's kind of what the purpose of hollow points are for. Mm-hmm. But that really, that wasn't even discussed in the news articles that I read. I'm just making that statement on my own, that, that maybe that was, that played into the factors of charging this one officer. But the bottom line is that none of the officers were charged for the death of Breonna Taylor. The charge of wanton endangerment has to do with how they fired their weapons in the apartment complex and the fact that the bullets went into another apartment room. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, well, okay. I mean, I'm trying to think of the construction of the apartment building. Some apartments might have block between apartments. Others, perhaps older ones, maybe it's plaster and lattice or even drywall. Who knows? If it's certainly drywall or even plaster lattice, bullets would certainly go right through that.
Yeah, it's going to be drywall, and you know, it's true, these bullets will just go right through several apartment rooms and through the wall. So the preferred method, I guess, for special forces or SWAT would be to use hollow points if you're going to engage in this type of firefight. But, I mean, these cops probably just figured they were going to serve a warrant and search the apartment. I'm sure they didn't anticipate a firefight going on. But it happened, and as we pointed out yesterday on Patrick and Jeremy, these officers were put in a very difficult situation where they obviously responded, you know, as an officer would respond. They were fired at, they fired back. So I think the wanton endangerment charge is just the AG is sort of trying to give the people a little something, but it wasn't enough.
And of course, yeah. And then, of course, there's going to be a trial. I haven't delved into the details of this the way I delved into the details of George Floyd. I did watch Tucker Carlson tonight and the beginning of Sean Hannity. Tucker Carlson was basically saying it was a travesty that anybody was charged. That, I mean, it just shows that the mob is in charge of the fact that the one officer was charged with not reckless endangerment. What was it? A wanton endangerment?
Yeah, wanton endangerment.
Yeah,
yes.
That he was charged with that felony. Shows that, that the mob is in charge of the justice system. And, you know, he walked through it. Now, if the original warrant had been no knock, maybe they might have expected a gunfight. Who knows? Or maybe they should have. I don't know. I can't really second guess that. Now, but Hannity came on the next hour, and of course, he had to do his totally not racist virtue signaling, calling, saying that Breonna Taylor was a loved person. Everybody who knew her loved her, and that the passion in her life was being a emergency medical services worker, and she was all about saving lives. And I don't know anything about her other than that her ex-boyfriend was a, you know, wanted drug dealer, and her current boyfriend shot at police. And Tucker said at the beginning of the show the current boyfriend was also a drug dealer. Then he made some sort of correction at the end of the show, and it was a little bit unclear what he was correcting from the end of the show. So I don't know. But you think, yeah, it's possible for a very nice girl to have a drug dealer as a boyfriend, but typically you're going to have a drug-taking girl have a drug dealer as a boyfriend. And I don't know, do the EMS workers, do they need to take drug tests? And so I don't know. When I say I don't know, I don't, you know, I can't pass judgment on this woman. But one thing I do know is that regardless of these details that we're talking about, there's absolutely no justification for this kind of mob violence. And this, you know, this is premeditated. We were talking about it yesterday because there's a huge expectation. You know, we knew what to expect. And Tucker showed video of a U-Haul coming up and unloading shields, you know, Wakanda shields. I guess, what is that special substance they have in Wakanda? It's obsidian or something that you know, lets them fly? Or
I'm not...
I think it's obsidian. Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
But
they were,
can we tell you a little... Yeah.
But it's, you know, they're it's vibranium or something like that, but obsidian, I think, is from Rocky and Bullwinkle, but it's a better word, more imaginative.
Well, regarding Breonna Taylor and her choice in boyfriends, I mean, when you play dangerous games, you win dangerous prizes, and
I think I've heard that.
I hate to say that. Yeah, I think that was yesterday's Patrick and Jeremy. I'm gonna keep you.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know, this guy, this boyfriend she was with, was so paranoid that he felt the need to shoot through the door of people and, you know, announcing themselves at the door. I don't know what he was expecting, but the original suspicion, the reason the warrant was issued, was they were suspecting that this apartment was used as a drop point for drugs, where the drugs would just be there maybe for a few hours until someone could pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you could actually make money at that if you let your place of residence be a dropping point. You could allow drug dealer A to drop drugs there and wait a few hours and then let drug dealer B come and pick them up, and then you could take a cut of the profit. I'm not saying that's what happened. I'm just saying that was the suspicion, and that might be why there was a no-knock warrant issued, to try to catch the drugs there before they disappear.
Well, and, you know, if you've ever been to Morocco in the 1980s, one thing that was common is, like, there's a tiny little enclave at the top of Morocco, which is Spanish sovereign territory. It's called Ceuta, and you can take a ferry easily across the Straits of Gibraltar, and you get to Ceuta, which is still Spain, and then you cross a land border into Morocco. And what was common, you really watch out for somebody sticking some drugs into your backpack, and then you get across the other side, and then somebody would rob your backpack, knowing that the drugs were there. So, you know, it's plausible that her apartment could have been used as a drop site, even without her knowledge. It could have been with her knowledge, who knows. But information that Tucker gave, which I guess was from the grand jury, although I think grand jury evidence is secret, but some of the evidence he gave was, so this incident happened in March, and as late as February, this whatever the guy's name was, the ex-boyfriend drug dealer, was using Breonna Taylor's address as his own. And as late as January, he had been seen entering and leaving the premises and to pick up a package. So, you know, there was something to it. Now, Breonna Taylor's family is saying that she was assassinated in order to clear the area so it could be gentrified. And, you know, the idea of her being assassinated, the cops coming in and just killing people in order to get rid of them so it can be gentrified, is ridiculous. But, you know, one thing you think about with all of these riots and everything, and all the businesses being shut down, and all the people moving out of town, because there's a lot of people moving out of town, it's going to depress real estate prices. And that creates an opportunity for some you know, real estate speculators to come in and buy. And I don't think that not specifically with regards to Breonna Taylor, but, you know, kind of it's a wider phenomenon, that might have a little bit of a role in what's going
real
on.
Real estate speculators, what are you talking about, Doctor?
Yeah, I know.
in the go right ahead.
No, I was just going to say real quick that, you know, we've got two extremes here. On the one extreme, on the Breonna Taylor side, she was assassinated for gentrification of the area, which is pretty absurd. And then on the other extreme, you know, we could say, well, Breonna Taylor was knowingly allowing her apartment to be used as a site, you know, for drug dealers to operate. But there is a happy medium that we could settle on, is that maybe she really didn't know what was going on, and maybe the apartment was used for those nefarious purposes, but maybe it wasn't anymore, and the cops acted on old information, and it's just a tragic accident. I mean, that could be a reasonable assumption. I think what I wanted to focus on, you know, and what I'm sure you do, is the response to that, which is way out of bounds.
Mm-hmm. But you were about to make a point. What was you going to make?
Well, this is just regarding the real estate speculation. I do remember in the late 1980s, there was a giant real estate bubble in Tokyo. And it got to the point where the emperor's palace, the grounds of the emperor's palace, was worth more than all of the real estate in Canada. And Tokyo was worth way more than all of the real estate in the United States in terms of its market value. And so it was a hot commodity. And there a lot of developers wanted to develop land in Tokyo. And there was still, you know, this was like 40 years after the war. Everything had been bombed out. And a lot of the buildings that were built after the war were kind of rickety and old. And everything was like small plots, whereas these developers wanted to take over entire city blocks and build giant high-rises. And, you know, they try to buy up the properties, but there might be like a guy, you know, who has got a little noodle shop, and he's old and he's not going to sell out. And what they do is they would get gangsters. Sometimes the gangsters would hire right-wingers who would have sound trucks, and they would play patriotic music really loud in front of the noodle shop so no customers would go there, and then the guy would sell out. And if that didn't work, they would just burn the place down because everything was made out of wood. So I'm just bringing that up as an example where, you know, nefarious characters seeking to redevelop neighborhoods have used criminal methods. And so, you know, if it could happen in Tokyo, could it happen in Louisville or Minneapolis or wherever? Who knows? I'm just bringing it up.
Yes, who knows indeed. But I guess the reaction to this is the most important thing, because this might set a precedent. And I have sent you in the text of the Skype a Courier Journal article that sort of documents how the protests went today in Louisville. And I'm going to go through this and read it. Let me know when we come up on the break.
We got about a minute.
Maybe got about a minute. So I'm going to start. Yeah. I'm going to start it off with the 1:15 p.m. post. It's 1:15 Eastern time. Protesters respond to grand jury's decision. Around 200 protesters gathered at Jefferson Square Park as the announcement was played on a loudspeaker. The decision was wrapped up. There was first confusion, then anger from those who had gathered, and a few people cried. "Is that it?" one woman asked. The announcement followed nearly 120 days of civil unrest in Louisville, mm-hmm. where protesters have led miles-long marches, shut down traffic, and arranged pop-up street fairs on behalf of Taylor, an unmarried black woman who was killed during a narcotic search that went.
Is that it? Well, of course she was expecting so much more because the media has been lying to her the whole time, which is something Tucker was pointing out. Well, we are up at the break. We'll be right back.
Well, in the merry month of May, now from me home I started, left the girls and two were nearly broken hearted, saluted father dear, kissed me darling mother, drank.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. with all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
The standard blood began to boil. Templar I was new as I'm poor old Aaron's Isle. They began abusing Harami, so I says I'm a shillelagh, I let fly. Galway boys were by, and so I was a howling with the lower hooray. The giant in the affray quickly clear the way for the rocky road to double and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Hunt the hare and turn her down the rocky road.
And we are back, and this is the Wild World of Sports, and Jeremy is giving us a play-by-play of today's rioting and looting events in Louisville,
whatever. So after the announcement, the protesters did their react. The demonstrators collectively called for an end to police brutality and systematic racism, touching on interlinking issues that disproportionately affect Black residents, such as, get ready for it, mm-hmm, food insecurity and gentrification.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the issues affecting Black people disproportionately. But through it all, the protesters' main message has been consistent. The officers involved in Taylor's death should be fired, arrested, and criminally charged. So I ask you, Dr. Slattery, I mean, is this not the clear definition of terrorism? And we're going to read more. I mean, there's more to this article. These protesters will eventually say, you fire and charge these officers with murder or we're going to burn the place down. I mean, that's, you know, threatening violence to get some sort of a, I guess it's a political change.
Yes, it's judicial absolutely change. Political change. Yeah.
The political objectives are clear. And, you know, different definitions, some just say violence in the pursuit of political gains or illegitimate violence in the pursuit of political gains, or random violence, you know, because if that is probably a necessary component, because if there's a random element to the violence, then the general population feels unsafe. If it's simply assassinations, most people won't feel threatened by political assassinations. But if the violence has a random nature to it, then everybody's at risk. And that does create a sense of terror.
Absolutely. 1:30 p.m., protesters begin marching downtown. Almost immediately after hearing the charges, protesters began moving together away from Jefferson Square Park and toward Broadway. Several police vehicles trailed closely behind. The National Guard was also present. Protesters approached police and yelled at them at 4th and Broadway, but continued their march moving east on Kentucky Street. The founder of the local nonprofit, the Hope Bus, said it took her a minute to come out of shock after hearing the charges against Hankison announced. Hankison is the officer that was charged with wanton endangerment. He was one of the three. Mm-hmm. So here we have protesters moving, National Guard present. So 2:45 p.m., the march continues. They keep going. It's a crowd of about 300. Continued to march down Kentucky Street, stopping once to reorganize. Some people made phone calls asking others to join. The chants include, keep it going, and if we don't get justice, burn it down, quote, unquote, before the group turned right onto Shelby Street. So there you have the terroristic threatening. That should be a charge right there. If we don't get justice, burn it down, meaning burn down the city.
The irony is they walk around saying no justice, no peace. Now, if there was justice, you would just have, wouldn't you have tens of thousands of people in jail for rioting and looting across the country? Wouldn't that be part of the justice? And yeah, if you had, absolutely. I mean, and if you had justice, these guys charged, the four officers charged with George Floyd's death, they would be out free. I mean, these people have no idea. And I always thought that was funny. I never heard this chant, no justice, no peace, until maybe 2004. I think I went to George W. Bush's second inauguration. That would be 2005, January. And, you know, we were walking around, and it was basically an anti-war demonstration, and it was peaceful. I mean, there was nobody was throwing anything or no graffiti. And then I heard somebody say, no justice, no peace. And I thought, that's strange. This is a peace rally. Why would you be saying no peace? It was the first time I'd ever heard it. And, you know, I think it's odd on the face of it. No justice, no peace is a threat. And it's certainly not, you can't have a peaceful demonstration by definition, a peaceful demonstration where you're walking around making threats of violence. Say, if you say no justice, no peace, that's not peaceful. That's threatening. What do you think?
Absolutely true. I mean, that just goes along with the whole narrative here that these protesters are threatening physical violence if they don't get the judicial results that they want. And they don't care about the facts of the case. They don't care. They just want blood. I mean, they want these officers to be charged for murder and executed. So anyway, 3:15 p.m., the march moves toward the Highlands. Now, this is where it takes an interesting turn.
Well,
protesters invited. Go ahead, Patrick.
We got about 20 seconds.
Protesters invited black women to form a line at the front of the march as they continued east and called on each other to protect black women. That's what this is going to be about now, black women.
Okay, well, we will be right back.
Well, I'm a little bigger man, I'm big and I'm a teen. I've teach score more on the little lily green. And I know I'm from the leafy, from the basin to the zoo. And I know I'm by the name of...
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendovite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendovite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Welcome back to the show, and we are, well, we're talking about the ongoing riots in Louisville, and there's a possibility that we will be very severely news-cucked overnight. If that happens, I'm sure that you can take a time machine, go back to tomorrow's Stormfront episode, and probably hear Jeremy and I talking about it on Stormfront. So keep that in mind. When I say time machine, I mean just go to the archives, the Rents Radio archives. But so what's next on the timeline?
Well, we're through 15 p.m. still, and the protesters are focusing on Protect Black Women. Back to the Courier-Journal article, Louisville writer and activist Hannah Drake told the Courier-Journal that during the march, the grand jury's decision was, quote, yet another slap to black women. Continuing on with the quote, she said, this is just what was expected, and you have no one held accountable for the murder of Breonna Taylor, Drake said. Somebody killed her, the police did, but nobody's held accountable for that. So this focus on protect black women and black women are the victims. I heard this echoed in a CNN video that I watched tonight when I was looking at live coverage of Louisville. And I had about I clicked on CNN to get live coverage, and they offered me a 8-minute free live video. And then after that, I got to pay for it, which I'm not going to do. And I suggest that if anyone in the audience ever has a chance to, you know, watch CNN live for 8 minutes, don't do it.
You'll never get that 8 minutes.
You'll never get that 8 minutes back. Hey, that's why people aren't flying anymore. Some people think it's because of the security or whatever. No, it's because people cannot put up with the CNN on the in the waiting rooms for the airplanes. They just can't put up with it.
Which is the only way they get their ratings is in waiting rooms and in airports. But anyway, to go on, it was a Cuomo show, and that would be Concrete Shoes Cuomo. And he's going on and on about civil rights. He thinks that the Civil Rights Division of the FBI should investigate this. Like, they are appalled on CNN that this officer, only one officer, got charged with this wanton endangerment charge. And, you know, he thinks the FBI should get involved, the Civil Rights Division at that. And then Van Jones pipes in and he says that the whole system is coming down on black women. And yeah. Van Jones says that they're coming down on black women because of black women's boyfriends and because of all the abuse, you know, that the black women are subjected to by the system. So he's kind of like targeting in on the fact that, you know, Breonna Taylor's boyfriend was engaging in this firefight with cops and she was, you know, the victim here. I mean, that may be the case, but it's just interesting how the mainstream media gets a talking point and they all go with it, like CNN and the Courier Journal in Louisville, which is a local media outlet. They're going on with this thing of how black women are targeted and black women are under the knee of the system. The knee is on their neck. That's the narrative.
Of course, if you're a black, let's say a black girl, and you graduate from high school, and you get decent grades, you know, you graduate, you get decent grades, you're going to get into college. And, I mean, it's so much easier for a black woman to get into an Ivy League school than anyone else. It's just so, and I remember hearing, well, one somebody told me about a very slightly black friend of hers, you know, who actually had blonde hair. But she did have a father who was visibly black. And so she got in as black or mixed race or whatever. And she said, yeah, just apply to Yale. You don't even need good test scores. And it's like, well, you didn't need good test scores. And Dr. Duke, I'm not sure exactly where the data came from, but he's cited some pretty authoritative data that black women with a college degree make twice as much money at the same job or twice as much money on average as a white woman with a college degree. So there is a great deal of demand for black women.
But that doesn't matter, Patrick.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter, Patrick, because black women are oppressed by the system and they get involved with boyfriends in drugs who get them involved in deadly shootings with the cops.
I mean, Van Jones, when he said this, was there any indication that he was thinking that, well, you know, black women, the black men have some sort of fault in this?
Oh, no, not at all. I mean, I think they were scrambling to try to like find some kind of a victimhood here. I think that's what it was. And they didn't really know where to go, so they just defaulted to black women are oppressed by the system. I think that's what happened.
You know, meanwhile, for instance, you had that Australian woman in Minnesota, in Minneapolis, who, 3 years ago, she called the police because she thought she heard somebody being raped in the, in the alleyway outside of her building. And when the police came, she ran down to the police car in her nightgown to you know, saying help or this is, you know, go here. And the Somalia police officer just shot her in her nightgown after she had called the police about a rape. And I don't think she probably really looked like a suspect in a rape. But that didn't become a cause célèbre the way this did. And so there's certainly a double standard. But that's not news to our audience.
Not news at all. 3:45 p.m., police confront protesters with pepper balls on Bardstown. Now, for those out in Rio Rhinelander, the pepper ball is a bomb that they can throw into the crowd that releases the pepper spray type chemical that makes your eyes water and you can't see. So it's getting real at 3:45 p.m. in Louisville today. Pepper balls dispersed. Police and protesters are clashing. Very based, by the way, of the police to actually do this and stand their ground. Just saying. 4 p.m., multiple protesters arrested. Immediately following the confrontation with police on Bardstown Road, multiple protesters are arrested, though it's not clear how many. About 75 police officers in riot gear remained on the street and taped off part of the road, blocking off Bardstown entirely a few blocks from its intersection with Cherokee Parkway. Let me interject something here. My friend that I announced on RBN who has Hodgkin's disease, he was being transported to Louisville today for cancer treatment. The transport had to stop, turn around, and go back. His appointment canceled because of this nonsense. So that's just one case. You know, I wonder how many other people's lives were disrupted today because of this literal militarized zone. We're talking like Somalia 1993 circus stuff here. I watched videos of this live on Breitbart and CNN. And I mean, it is. It's like National Guard and police and SWAT teams rolling around with sirens, protesters. I mean, the whole city just shut down over this nonsense. It's very unfortunate.
And when I keep comparing this to the Soviet Union in 1991, in particular 1991, and we've got a lot more violence right now than the Soviet Union did during the year leading up to its dismemberment at the end of the year. You know, it there was basically one incident of any kind of large scale violence. That was in Vilnius, Lithuania, maybe in January 1991. It was unclear who really ordered it, but there were some demonstrators shot. But the demonstrators themselves, you know, this was pre-Soros color revolution. They weren't particularly violent. You did have in a few areas that were going to be, well, after the breakup, you had some low-scale warfare in areas of either in Russian areas dominated by minorities or non-Russian republics, newly independent non-Russian republics that had regions of heavy Russian population. But in terms of the year leading up to the breakup of the Soviet Union, there was really less chaos than we have here. And you didn't have that COVID stuff. So I view all this with extreme alarm. And you know, people have been talking for years about, you know, acceleration and people waking up. Well, this is pretty bad. This is pretty bad. This is getting, you know, whether or not this, I mean, this is getting pretty close to what you could call a civil war. It's just only one side is fighting right now. And I'm not calling for any increase in violence. I'm certainly not. But I'm just saying, you're now, I mean, well, what's next on your timeline? Let's hear what's next on your timeline, because that timeline is going to show some real, like, virtual civil war level violence, isn't it?
It's a veritable powder keg, my guy. 4:20 p.m., multiple physical altercations between police and protesters. Police were using batons against protesters who got near them. And then at 4:40 p.m., did the police declare the protest on Bardstown unlawful, and they commanded that the protesters must immediately disperse. 5:15 p.m., police marched down on Bardstown. So you got this wall of police with shields and riot gear, you know, marching down, and they're getting more bold. So you can see this tension escalating. Protests pick back up at 5:25 p.m. At 6:50 p.m., hundreds gather at Jefferson Square Park. 7:06 p.m., Kentucky National Guard confirms that 500 troops were sent to Louisville. And I can't disclose a lot of information, but I personally know one of the higher-ranking members in that guard division, and it's pretty bad. That's at 7:06 p.m. 7:30 p.m., protesters begin march on Broadway, and police announce once again at 7:40 an unlawful assembly. 7:50, the police arrive in downtown in droves. There were 29 protesters arrested. And 8:08 p.m., emergency alert reminds Louisville of curfew.
I was listening to Tucker Carlson's show live, and that would be between 7 and 8 p.m. Central Time. Is Louisville Central or Eastern?
Louisville's Eastern.
Oh, okay. All right, so never mind.
So 8:20 p.m., now this is 40 minutes before curfew ends, the police deploy flashbangs at Jefferson Square. Hundreds of protesters who had been at Jefferson Square Park just an hour earlier had largely cleared out of the park shortly after 8 p.m. So you got flashbangs. 8:37 p.m., here you go. The Louisville Metro Police Department says an officer is shot.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I heard live on Tucker's show.
Yeah, there's actually two other officers involved, or two total, actually, and one officer shot, and that's the last part of the timeline that I've heard on this.
So you had a firefight you've got people shooting at police officers.
Yes. So you can see, as we went through the timeline, you know, as the protesters get more bold, the police push back, yeah. Pepper spray balls, and batons, then, spangs, and firefight.
And finally, largely peaceful shootings of police officers.
Yes. The Civil War started a while back. So for people saying, when's the Civil War coming? I mean, it's here. And I don't condone it, but it's here. And right now, between the, you know, in areas like, you know, Louisville, the police are fairly based. And they're going to try to maintain law and order, so is the guard. But I just wonder how this is going to play out, you know, in other big cities, right? How's it going to play out in states and cities where the mayors and governors aren't going to authorize this sort of force?
Right. And so it's one of the things that makes what's going on in Louisville tonight so important is that the governor, who is Democrat, not a Republican, and maybe he feels he's got a little bit more leeway because he's Democrat, I don't know, but for whatever reason, he is calling out the National Guard, which is something that the Oregon and Washington governors certainly didn't do. The Minnesota governor didn't do it. Was the National Guard called out at all in Wisconsin? I don't think they were they? I mean, like in Kenosha, the police were pretty much forced to stand down. So this maybe is, you know, the first test case of law enforcement actually trying to, you know, being willing to use force to halt a riot. And we'll see how it works and what the response is. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, you know, I think tomorrow you're probably going to have all of these protesters who are arrested, they're going to face charges. We're going to get more info on the officer that was shot. I didn't see anything in the news about protesters being shot. This is just going to keep on raising the tensions. And like you said, you know, this officer that's been indicted for wanton endangerment, I mean, it's still got to go to trial. And there's still got to be a verdict rendered. Are there going to be more protests when the verdict isn't what they want? Probably so.
And so it's not just that at any moment, you know, some shooting can happen and it be twisted and manipulated into creating riots, but that something that happened 6 months ago, a year ago, that wasn't a big deal at the time, you know, the trials can take a long time, and so something can be dug up. I mean, they were digging up that thing about the jogger in Georgia, which would have probably been the thing that kicked everything off, because we're ripe for these types of riots due to the being softened up through all this COVID mask wearing and social distancing and economic shutdown. We were softened up for it, and they were just rolling out that whole jogger thing when George Floyd happened, so they jumped on that instead. But we are up on the break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822, or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and a new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future. And we are back. So we're going to move away from the riots back to COVID, but we're not leaving Kentucky. Rand Paul has introduced, he's pushing back on Fauci. Tell us about it, Jeremy.
TheHill.com. Anthony Fauci scolds Rand Paul. He gives him a scolding during these tense exchanges at the coronavirus hearing. So a seemingly irritated Anthony Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, blah, 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 scolded Senator Rand Paul of Kentucky at a congressional hearing on Wednesday after the senator claimed that COVID-19 cases might not be rising in New York because of herd immunity.
There you go.
Wow. Wow. You don't say, Dr. Rand. I know he's an optometrist, but so he's a doctor.
He's an optometrist. Dr. Fauci has caused more harm, more medical harm, probably than any other doctor in world history, maybe. What do you think?
And Fauci is the expert. I mean, he stretched the AIDS pandemic out for 4 decades. Has he not? Yeah, no vaccines, but he's probably made lots of money off of making homos live into their 60s instead of dying in their 40s. So, you know, this guy is a total fraud. And Rand Paul is pushing against him. And, you know, Rand is our guy now. He's the anti-lockdown, libertarian. So I'm good with that. So anyway, so Fauci, the country's top infectious disease doctor, told Paul that he was wrong to make the suggestion. And he said that Paul had also been wrong on other public comments about the concept of herd immunity. And you got this back and forth between Rand Paul and Fauci. And so Fauci says, if you believe 22% is herd immunity, I believe that you're alone in that. Now, he's messing with the numbers there. Fauci told Paul this during the hearing, referring to the number of New Yorkers thought to have had COVID-19.
That 22% figure, that was like late April or something.
Yeah, I mean, these are bogus numbers. These are old. But check it out. So the exchange took place at the Senate Health Committee hearing where Fauci and others are testifying about the pandemic. Rand Paul, who has frequently criticized the lockdowns aimed at preventing the spread of coronavirus and questioned their effectiveness, he asked Fauci if he had second thoughts over his support of such measures, given the statistics in other countries. So to give you the TLDR on the article, the too long didn't read, you know, Rand Paul is basically saying, look, herd immunity is a thing. And in countries where they didn't do the lockdown, they didn't have high death numbers. And mm-hmm. Fauci is just going on with the totally political narrative that, no, we got to do lockdowns. We got to do masks. You're against science. You're wrong. And I'm right. And, you know, Fauci really, he does. He scolds him. He yells at him and he gets visibly upset during the hearings.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's important that Fauci be really removed from power. He's 79 years old. Just put him out the pasture. There is Scott Atlas is on Trump's team now. If Fauci's pushed out and Rand Paul, please help do so. But if Fauci's pushed out and Scott Atlas starts actually having his way on things, they are going to be. Scott Atlas is all for lifting the lockdowns, letting herd immunity occur naturally while protecting the vulnerable people. He's got absolutely the right approach to this. But right now, you know, you can't say things like that because of the media. Your final thoughts, Jeremy?
I want to quote Rand Paul, quoting, "It's important that we the people not simply acquiesce to authoritarian mandates on our behavior without first making the nanny state prove their hypothesis. What we do know is that New York and New Jersey and Connecticut and Rhode Island still allowed the highest death rates in the world." Very well said, Rand Paul. The states that did the hardest lockdowns had the highest death rates.
There you go. Well, thank you very much for all of your reporting and research.
Thank you, Patrick. You stay classy, RBN.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.